The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Had the WEC commissioners followed the law, then special voting deputies who are trained and taken oath to follow all of the legally required ballot procedures would have had the opportunity to observe for themselves, one from each party is what the law requires, one from each party for the obvious reason to keep the other one honest. And those special voting deputies, instead of leaving it up to the tender mercies of whoever happened to get the ballot, those special voting deputies would have had both the lawful oath, the lawful obligation, and the legal training necessary to ensure that an ineligible voter does not vote.
More testimony there from Justice Gableman. He has been in the news not nearly enough this week, exposing what he called widespread election fraud. Remember all the montages? No evidence, no evidence, no evidence of voter fraud. Of course, there's evidence all over the place, and it continues to pour forth. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show through CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. And they also have a few replays each day on Channel 3 and Channel 6. Of course, the live video stream that we can get onto every day, anytime. If you want to get the program on demand or watch the live stream at 11 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone of the United States, you've got to go to our website. That's thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. Takes you right to the live stream page and also all of those other podcasts that we post after the fact. We certainly enjoy having you, as I say, among our growing audience. Well, lots and lots to get to on today's show. I think it was Tuesday, was it, that we mentioned that Gableman, in his 136-page report, I believe it was, he was calling for Wisconsin, the state legislature, to decertify the election results from November 3rd, 2020. And then following that, there's now 12 Wisconsin counties calling for the state to decertify. And as I say, more and more evidence coming forward and video evidence as well. He, in part of his testimony, he showed they investigated, I guess, 5 counties with these nursing homes, and some of them had 100% turnout. And a lot of these people in the nursing homes have dementia or Alzheimer's. They clearly, it's pretty painful to even watch it, because it obviously makes a mockery of the voting system in the United States. But it's also abusive. They're abusing these elderly patients in nursing homes. And family members are coming forward saying, yeah, you know, my grandma, who's 104 and can't remember anything, evidently she voted in 2020. I wonder who she voted for. And as Justice Gableman brought out here, if the Wisconsin Election Commission had followed the law, in other words, they broke the law. They're guilty of felonies, some of them. But you can't find a prosecutor in Wisconsin who's willing to run with it. They had this sheriff conduct this investigation in Racine County, I think it was, and then now here's Justice Gableman even expanding upon that sheriff. They tried to dismiss the sheriff seven, eight months ago. Now we're on to Gableman. Of course, he's politically motivated. But for the most part, it's just universally ignored. They don't even pay attention. All of those talking heads that went on and on and on and said there's no evidence, the truth of it is they won't look at the evidence. They pretend it's not there. They blot it out. They censor it. Listen to this this one. Her name's Meryl Barrett, and she's in the video as her family is beside her basically explaining what went on. Clip five.
A memory problem, probably for 20 years, but it has progressed to the point now where she has a difficult time remembering names of people. She's not capable of making many decisions at all. Her health care decisions were turned over to me in 2009, I believe. So she's basically not capable any longer of even remaining awake for more than a few minutes.
Well, just to state that she is 104 years old, and a lot of people at that age aren't cognizant. It's taken a long time for us to rouse her awake to even get a word out, but she hasn't really remembered us, Jack and me, for years, maybe 5 years.
Wow, and so were you surprised that she voted in February 2021?
Absolutely.
Yeah, the family is a little bit surprised. This woman who's 104, she's practically in a coma. She doesn't know who her children are, and yet she voted. The Wisconsin Election Commission said, "Hey, you nursing home attendants, just help them to vote. We're not going to send out deputies that can kind of analyze both sides, a Republican, a Democrat. If you've lost your mind in Wisconsin, you can't vote. It's illegal." I mean, the hilarious side of this is all these people who have literally lost their minds voting in a president who's, I'll let you finish the sentence. This is an attack on the United States of America. Widespread voter fraud. Margo Cleveland at the Federalist. Special counsel Michael Gableman vetted more than 90 nursing homes in 5 different counties and concluded there was, quote, widespread election fraud. Cue up the montage. No evidence. Just like a bunch of robots, like a bunch of stormtroopers marching in line, in lockstep with one another. It says here, rampant fraud and abuse occurred statewide at Wisconsin's nursing homes and other residential facilities, according to the Office of Special Counsel's second interim report. It says here, that conclusion represents but one, just one of the key findings of election irregularities detailed in the nearly 150-page report. It says, according to the report, nursing home staff and administrators illegally handled absentee ballots, illegally assisted with marking residents' ballots, illegally witnessed the voting, and possibly included forgery of the elderly resident signatures. Well, you can see why with patients like we just showed you. They can't even sign the ballot. Some of them. This is widespread fraud, and a lot of people are being implicated, working at these nursing homes, certainly the ones at the Wisconsin Election Commission, that said, never mind the laws, never mind the rules, never mind the voting deputies, just get these ballots in, just fill them out, help them along. And then, of course, you have some of these nursing home statistics where every single elderly individual in the home voted. Who do you think they voted for? Do you think these were all Trump voters? No, not at all. I mean, let's just put two and two together. These are Zuckerberg bucks. Get out the vote. It says here, the fraud uncovered by the special counsel's office, mirrored and revealed late last year by the Racine County Sheriff's Office. This local investigation led to the broader special counsel investigation. So there's a few with the courage to investigate it. Not just recount. I mean, if you're counting a stack of fake ballots, and then you say, hey, let's get an audit and recount that stack of fake ballots, well, of course you're going to come up with the same number. But it's the fraud, the forgery that was behind some of those ballots that are obviously fake and phony. That's where the real scandal is, and this man's exposing it. Listen again to more testimony or more video that he played as part of his testimony. This is Cicely Sherlock, clip 6.
When did her cognitive decline get to a point where you think she shouldn't be voting?
Probably in 2010.
And so, and then you were surprised that she voted in the 2020 election?
Absolutely. I had absolutely no idea that she had been voting. Much to my surprise, she had voted for the last, off and on for the last 10 years. I guess in my mind, I thought if you put your parent into a facility because they were incapacitated, they would not even be offered the vote.
But not in Wisconsin, especially not in 2020. I mean, if you listen to her there, the relative, she's saying the fraud's been going on for a long time, for many, many years. But they had all the hucksters in full force in 2020 because they had the perfect pretext. It's too dangerous to send in voting deputies. You see, it's COVID. We can't send in the deputies. So you people at the local level, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who does it. Just get them to fill out the sign their name if you can. Just make it as easy as possible for these people who are incapacitated to vote for Joe Biden. It says here, that law requires local municipalities to dispatch two special voting deputies to such facilities. Under the election code, those special voting deputies must personally deliver ballots to any residents of the facility who wish to vote and then witness the voting process. Like Gableman said there, there's a Republican and there's a Democrat because they keep each other honest. If there's just one or the other, the temptation to cheat would just be enormous. But what about if there's no supervision whatsoever? Wow. It says, by law, only a relative or an SVD, a special voting deputy, may assist the voter in the process. And after the ballot is completed, the SVD must seal the ballot envelope and deliver it to the elections clerk. It says here, the Ridgewood Care Center in Racine County violated every one of those mandates. Every single one of them. Every single one of the rules was violated. Broken! No evidence? No evidence of widespread fraud? Listen to this case. This is June Carmichael, clip 7.
And today is election day in Wisconsin. What will the people of Wisconsin do to pick the next governor? You know?
Yeah.
Okay. when the election for governor is over, how will we decide who the winner is? You know? How will they decide who the winner of the election is?
No, I don't know.
Okay. And so, do you recall, have you voted in past elections? Well, do you remember the last time you voted?
I don't know. I think I did. I'm not sure.
You remember who you voted for?
No.
Okay. So, is it you know who the governor is now?
No, I don't think so.
Remember? Oh. Do you know who the president is?
President?
Yeah.
They make you vote?
Of this country, or?
Right, president. Yeah.
So how do they make you vote?
No, I don't know.
And that poor woman voted in November of 2020. She has no idea how the voting process works. But somehow, some way, she was able to submit a ballot on November 3rd, 2020. Margot Cleveland's article, it says, there are literally hundreds and hundreds of these facilities throughout the entire state of Wisconsin. We would be foolish to think for a moment, she's quoting someone here, that this integrity issue, this violation of the statute, occurred to just this small group of people at one care facility in one county in the entire state. So I think this is referring back to the investigation last year, but now Mr. Gableman has expanded the investigation to include 90 of these elderly care centers, 90 in five counties. I mean, that's a pretty thorough investigation. It says here, Tuesday's second interim report confirms Schmeling's intuition, establishing that the problem at Ridgewood was not isolated. Rather, rampant fraud and abuse occurred statewide at Wisconsin's nursing homes and other residential care facilities in relation to absentee voting at this facilities. It says the illegalities seen at Ridgewood were repeated at more than 90 other nursing homes in five counties vetted by the special counsel's team. The fraud and abuse, Gableman concluded in his report, resulted ultimately from the unlawful acts of WEC's members and its staff. That's the Wisconsin Election Commission. The election officials. It was orchestrated fraud from the top down. It says here, the special counsel stressed that despite the clear mandates of Wisconsin law that SVDs be used at residential facilities, the WEC on June 24th, 2020, directed clerks not to send SVDs to facilities and to instead mail ballots to voters in those facilities, then further stated that the regular rules for absentee voting by mail will apply to ballots sent by mail to care facility voter. It says the report then detailed, as the Racine County Sheriff had, how the directive constituted fraud under the Wisconsin Election Code. They just said, forget about the law, forget about the code, just commit fraud. Just do it illegally. And they did. They did. Nursing home, number of nursing homes vetted. This is in Milwaukee County. 30. There were 1,084 registered voters, and 1,084 voted. 100%. That's not even possible across the wider population of the United States. It's entirely impossible. They got 1,084 out of 1,084 to vote in November of 2020. So this was widespread voter fraud. As I say, orchestrated from the top right on down. Listen to this last testimony. This is regarding Jody Schulteis, clip 8.
So my mom just recently passed away. She was She was 88 years old and was living in assisted living because she had dementia. And so she had what was called mixed dementia, Alzheimer's and vascular dementia. So she was at Ellen's home in Germantown, which is in Washington County. She had been there for about 2.5 years before she passed. Well, I thought I'm going to look up and see if my mom voted because it was during COVID, and I, of course, wasn't able to even go and see her. I could do Zooms or I could say hi to her through the window, but I couldn't see her, so I didn't really give a thought to the fact that somehow she could vote. So I looked it up on the MyGov vote or MyVote.gov.
MyVote, part of the Wisconsin Election Commission site. Right?
Yes, yes. And put in the information about her. And lo and behold, she voted in the 2020 election. She did vote before that too, but I was most interested in the 2020 election. She voted in February. She voted in April in the primary. And she voted on November 3rd, 2020.
Yeah, she had dementia. She was near death. And, I mean, she was just voting like crazy. These radical leftists have absolutely no shame. They'll take votes from dead people. They'll take votes from people who are almost dead, from people who are crazy, from people who have lost their minds. They'll take votes from non-citizens if they can. Let them come across the border and vote Biden. They'll take votes from criminals, people with felonies, anybody. That's when they say get out the vote, when they say no signature, no identification, nothing, this is why. Just so that we know, just so that we're clear. Margot Cleveland, this is just one in this man's report. the scandal of these elderly care center facilities. It says here, with about 92,000 people in Wisconsin who reside in these facilities, the failure of Wisconsin election officials to prevent wards and incapacitated persons from voting in the 2020 presidential election cast doubt on the election result, says the report. Those 2020 general election results showed the Midwestern state breaking by 20,682 votes to Joe Biden. He won by less than 21,000 votes, and there's 92,000 people in Wisconsin who reside in these facilities. 92,000. And this is just one area. We talked to you earlier this week, yesterday, about the Zuckerberg bucks, what that went to in these deep, dark blue counties. And then here's the elderly care centers. And a pretty good representation. Five counties, 90 homes analyzed, investigated, and even video evidence of all the fraud. You can see why COVID-19 was absolutely crucial to pull off the steal. Act 77 over in Pennsylvania, by the way. This is the law that basically led to mass mail-in voting. Or maybe I have it in reverse. In any event, it was the law in Pennsylvania that basically said you can't just change the election rules to say that there's now mass mail-in voting unless the vote is submitted to the people. And it never was done. So basically there was a district court in Pennsylvania that said, yeah, what happened in 2020? It was unlawful. And then the radical leftists in power, they got on the horn right away to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court and said, listen, you better overturn this lower court's decision here because we got to be able to have mass mail-in balloting every single year, every single election, or we're never going to win. And so, as you would expect from this radical leftist court, they came out and defended or upheld the unlawful act that led to all of these fake ballots. So it's a war, isn't it? It's a war. It's back and forth. Back and forth. Switching gears here for a moment. This is from the New York Times. China asked Russia to delay Ukraine war until after the Olympics. This is here. Russia and China in prophecy. This is prophecy being fulfilled. This is one reason Putin has been so bold, even as so many in the world have denounced his adventurism in Ukraine. But he knows China has his back. Listen to this report from CNN, clip one.
According to a Western intelligence report, Chinese officials asked senior Russian officials to wait until after the Beijing Winter Olympics before invading Ukraine. U.S. officials believe the report is credible. China says it's a smear. The invasion began 4 days after the closing ceremonies. It's unclear whether President Xi personally made the request when he met with Russia's President Vladimir Putin at the start of the Games. Moscow and Beijing later issued a joint statement condemning NATO expansion and saying their partnership had no limits.
So here is Russia and China. That's prophesied in your Bible, the kings of the East. We've been talking all week about the reemergence now of Germany as the military might behind Europe. So many significant developments to take shape just this week. And then you look at the ongoing carnage in Ukraine and the world's reaction and step back and try to see a bigger picture for a moment. And you see just how many people are benefiting from this war, including a lot of powerful people in the United States. But obviously, this is good for Vladimir Putin. He wants to rebuild the Soviet Union. It's been good for Germany, hasn't it? Oh, yes. Germany, it announces to the world on Sunday, we're gonna build a military. We've been pacifists for too long. And the world applauds. China's obviously, although they say, hey, just wait until after the Olympics. I mean, the Olympics, they're in our nation, and we want some good publicity from that. But go ahead, invade Ukraine after that. And you can be sure, as I've said also, that China's, I mean, they're watching carefully. because they want to see how soon that they can go after Taiwan. And then all of these corruption charges to powerful people in the United States, the Biden crime family, Pelosi's family, Mitt Romney's family. They're all connected to Ukraine. They're connected to Russia. They're connected to China. That's why when you hear the major media, the propagandists in the media in the West go on and on about, look, this is what side we're on. This is, we want to keep you focused on prophecy as we have and who Vladimir Putin is in prophecy. We've got another book on that, as I've been showing you this week, The Prophesied Prince of Russia. No question. There's no question this is significant as it's playing out. But when the media just jump all in and they're all together, you know you're not getting the whole story. This is Lee Smith on Laura Ingraham's show last night, clip two.
Well, I mean, I think it's very important to remember that many of the same officials who are speaking about Putin, Putin's intentions, Putin's competence, Putin's armed forces, unfortunately, this goes back to, these are many of the same people who were telling us for 5-6 years about the intentions of Vladimir Putin to interfere in the 2016 U.S. presidential election on behalf of Donald Trump. At that point, the intelligence community got itself in a lot of trouble. And this is one of the reasons, or the key reason I've been saying for several years, what we saw was not just a beltway political scandal. It was a national security disaster waiting to happen. Now, whether it's the press, whether it's coming out of the Pentagon, whether it's coming out of intelligence community assessments at this point, I believe that the American public has no very good idea what's going on, because these same people have now established a reputation for lying, in particular about Russia, and for using Ukraine as an instrument against their adversaries, both foreign and domestic.
He brings up a good point. I mean, how can you trust the talking heads at all? Because all that they've been doing for years now is lie. They lie about everything. You know something's up when everyone, they all show up at the State of the Union with the Ukraine flag on the lapel. You can't get them to wear a U.S. flag, these Americans. They're not even really Americans. They're traitors. So many of them, they're traitors. They're communists. And they've been in bed with Putin on a lot of policies. Certainly with China, Hunter Biden and Ukraine. This is from CBS. Given the durability of the Ukraine resistance and its long history of pushing Russia back, the U.S. and Western powers do not believe that this will be a short war. The U.K. Foreign Secretary estimated it would be a 10-year war. A 10-year war? Yeah, that's right. This is the prognosticators of today. The ones in the UK and the United States. It says here, lawmakers at the Capitol were told Monday it's likely to last 10, 15, or 20 years, and that ultimately Russia will lose. So they know Russia will lose. They've been saying Russia's losing over the past 7 days. How can they make this assessment? But now it's going to go on for 20 years? Listen again to Lee Smith from last night, clip three.
The larger problem here is that to explain how we got to this point, it's not about being pro-Putin. It's not about being pro-Russian. It's not about feeling heartbroken for the Ukrainian public. What it is, we need to understand what role the U.S. national security establishment has played getting us here, what role even Joe Biden as vice president under Barack Obama has played getting us here.
Right. Let's go back. Let's look at the Obama administration. I mean, even Joe Biden, he's basically telling Zelensky to surrender over the weekend. And then he's wearing the mask across the lawn on Monday. Then he's not wearing the mask at the State of the Union Tuesday. And in the State of the Union, he says, yeah, Russia goes into Ukraine. And I mean, they met a brick wall. Like now all of a sudden he's the toe-to-toe Joe. Like he's really fighting against Putin, right? He's in lockstep with Zelensky. He saw a little bit of Ukrainian resistance, and then he changes his tune. these people. They're all opportunists. They're all fake. It's all theater. Speaking of the mask in an open lawn Monday, no mask to be seen in Congress Tuesday, and then Joe Biden is announcing someone yesterday he's masked up again. So the science, it's science on Monday, totally different Tuesday, back to Monday on Wednesday. Do you follow it? Are you following the formula here? All theater. The Daily Mail says here, Putin is not crazy and the Russian invasion is not failing. The West's delusions about this war and its failure to understand the enemy will prevent it from saving Ukraine. That's according to a military analyst. So everybody's got a little bit of a different take. Russians say they've lost 600 soldiers. Ukraine say that they've killed 6,000. The New York Post says this, Russia said it was ready Wednesday for the second round of peace talks with Ukraine while giving a chilling warning about a third world war and that it would certainly involve nuclear weapons. Well, this is true, actually, and we've been saying this for decades. When the third world war arrives, and Russia won't be the only one, there's going to be a lot of nations on Earth using nuclear weapons. Now, if there's a narrative to pick up on or a storyline to maybe talk about a little bit more, instead of just denouncing Russia, oh, how could Russia bring that up? How could they say this? Well, there are nuclear weapons all over the earth. There are a lot of nations equipped with nuclear weapons. It says here, Lavrov said Wednesday that if a third world war were to take place, it would involve nuclear weapons and be destructive. Well, that's quite an understatement, if ever there was one. But look, we're already in the midst of trade wars. We're already in the midst of an economic war. All of this leads to hot war. That, again, just stepping back, looking at the bigger picture, where are we, as I said to you yesterday, a world cut off from God and from the tree of life for 6,000 years. Look at where we are. We're right on the edge of the cliff. And then you've got this attack inside of our own nations. Jerome Powell yesterday suggesting that, well, maybe we could get more than one reserve currency. I mean, he's representing the United States. He's representing America and the U.S. dollar. And he's out there yesterday suggesting, well, it's not so bad if there's other reserve currencies. If there were three, four other reserve currencies besides the dollar, the United States of America would be Venezuela overnight. But see, that's just the thing that the communists want. They want to destroy the system. They'll still make out like bandits, just like the oligarchs in Venezuela or in Moscow. They want the U.S. dollar to collapse. They want it. What red-blooded American gets up representing the treasury, representing the dollar, gets up and says, I don't really have a problem with other reserve currencies coming around? This is from an article we wrote at The Trumpet in 2019. Tomorrow's news today, right? Says, but as nations lose faith in the U.S. financial system and sell off their dollar reserves, the situation is changing. The dollar is losing its reserve currency status. It is losing that. But here you have, who is Jerome Powell? The Fed chief. He's the Fed chief, basically. He's responsible for the money. It's losing its reserve currency status, and evidently the Fed chief of the United States is just fine with that. Its value is decreasing. This is the Trumpet 3 years ago. Its value is decreasing, and the interest rate that banks charge America for loans is rising. The only reason the dollar has not collapsed is that the world's other major currencies are in even worse shape than the dollar. Since there is currently no viable alternative reserve currency, banks grudgingly continue to use the dollar despite its flaws. This will change and soon, said the Trumpet. Tomorrow's news today, as we've been saying all week. Millennia ago, the Bible foretold that the U.S. would be plagued by debt in the end time, and it strongly indicates that the dollar will lose its reserve currency status to a European superpower. Wow. Just like so many of the other forecasts, the trumpet was spot on. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
On yesterday's show, I took you through those verses in Genesis 3, right at the end of that chapter, where it says God drove out the man. They made their decision. They rejected God and his government. They rejected God as their educator, as their ruler. And they believe the devil's lie. The devil told them, you decide what's right and wrong. You make the decision. And so they did. God's wrong, and we're going to go with the devil's argument here. And so God took decisive action. God wasn't caught flat-footed. God wasn't shocked by what happened. But when Adam and Eve made their decision, he drove them out of the Garden of Eden. He cut them off and the civilization that would spring from them. He cut them off from the tree of life, from God's spirit, from God's mind, from God's knowledge. He cut off all of civilization. This is where the whole pattern for human civilization was set, right there in the Garden of Eden. This world is cut off from God, except for a few, a small handful of people called out of this world, not because they're anything special, not because God's playing favorites, but because God needs it. He needs those select few as preparation for when all of mankind will have their opportunity for salvation. Notice what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22 says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order." Where do you hear about this in the world of traditional Christianity? There is a definite time order to God's purpose and plan. And he goes on in this same passage and talks about the first fruits. So there's a first group. I mean, just the fact that it says first fruits automatically implies that there's second fruits and third to come after that. It's just like with the family. A firstborn. You know why he's called the firstborn? Because he was born first. I hate to simplify it so much to sound like the vice president, but that's the truth. It's not that hard to understand God's purpose and plan as it's being worked out here below. God's purpose stands. And yes, while the devil is the god of this world, and yes, while Galatians 1 and verse 4 says this world is evil, the present evil world, it's not going to continue on forever. It's not going to go on in this present evil condition for thousands and thousands of more years. The lifespan for this present evil world is almost over. We are dying as a civilization. We are very near to the point of total annihilation. What Jesus describes in Matthew 24, 21, and 22. I mean, read it. It's from Jesus himself. Jesus told us. He told us what would happen in the very last days. What it would be like just before he returns to this earth. Let me just read what the disciples asked him. This is the first part of Matthew 24. And I'll leave it to you to look at Matthew 24 in its entirety. But notice what the disciples asked right here at the start. The verses are not in my notes, as you can tell. It says here in verse 3, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world?" So tell us about the events that are going to transpire just before you come back to this earth. And you know what Christ did? He answered their requests. He gave a lot of detail as well. And he talked about great tribulation. We're drawing near to that time. And Satan knows it, and he's filled with wrath. Read about it in Revelation 12. He's coming after God's church. He's coming after God's family. He hates God's purpose and plan. He knows it's going forward. 1 Peter 3 here in verse 12, it says, "For the eyes of the Eternal are over the righteous." We don't have to fear what the devil might do to us so long as we're close to God. It's like Peter said in another verse, draw near to God. Draw near to God. Humble yourself. Draw near to the Eternal, and then the devil will flee from us. That's a wonderful and encouraging promise. If we're close to God, then his eyes are over the righteous, as it says here, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Eternal is against them that do evil. God is against us. Just looking at it in the big overview, what our nations are doing, all the corruption going on from one nation to the next. But his eyes are over the righteous. Ezra 5 and verse 5, it says, "But the eye of the Eternal, the eye of their God, was upon the elders of the Jews, that they could not cause them to cease till the matter came to Darius." And then they returned to answer by letter concerning the matter and so on. But the eyes of the Eternal were on those Jews doing that great work for God during Ezra's time. God opened doors for his work, and we pray for that all the time, for his work today, to open doors for the message to go out, to open doors for the work in Jerusalem, to open doors that we might continue excavations, raising the ruins over in Israel. The eyes of the Eternal are on those servants serving God. This is from the Ezra Nehemiah booklet. It says, Zerubbabel recognized that he had the backing of a far greater authority. He knew God's eye was upon them. In other words, he got his focus back on track. He put his focus on God, and the people supporting Zerubbabel began to get their focus back on God. We must keep our focus on God because, well, God's focus is on us. We're his family. We're doing his work. We're fulfilling his will. The work of God's church is uppermost in God's mind. Amid all of this turmoil that we describe in the first segment of this show every day, you know what God's chief concern is about daily? It's about those of you supporting his work, doing the work of God. His eyes are upon us. He's watching, he's observing, he's empowering, he's strengthening, he's protecting. Psalm 33, verse 18, it says, "Behold, the eye of the Eternal is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy." If we fear God, if we trust God, if we hope in his mercy, then God's eyes will be upon us. He'll look after us, just like a loving father would look after and care for and protect his own children. Psalm 34, verse 15, it says, "The eyes of the Eternal are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." If we fear God, if we're obeying God, God will hear and answer our prayers. And so we have nothing to worry about. We have nothing to fear. Go through Matthew 6, where Jesus said, "Look, why do you get so twisted in knots or worried or concerned about what might happen tomorrow or next week or next month? Just focus on doing the work of God today. Keep that focus on the kingdom of God and on building righteousness into your character with God's help. Walk by faith, in other words." 1 Corinthians 4, and verse 9, it says, "For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle," Paul says, "unto the world, and to angels, and to men." In other words, I mean, spectacle, it's like theater. Like, we're out in front of everyone. Everyone sees. Not a spectacle in the crazy sense, although there's certainly there's going to be detractors and persecutors, like there were with Paul, who say to Paul after he preaches the gospel, "You're crazy, you're mad, you're a heretic." There's always going to be critics like that. But what Paul is saying here is that, look, this work, it's going to gain more and more visibility. People are going to notice. People are going to take note of what this little work is doing and saying, and the projects that it's engaged in, the people that it's impacting, the forecast, the accurate prophetic forecast that it continues to send out. 1 Peter 1, verses 10 through 12, read that. It talks about how the angels are looking into this plan as it's unfolding. This plan B, this family plan. The righteous angels, they're keenly interested in what God is working out here below. The eyes of the Eternal are upon the family of God. Barnes' commentary on this point about being in the theater or out to where everyone sees it. It says, "The theater, the amphitheater of the ancients was composed of an arena or a level floor on which the combatants fought and which was surrounded by circular seats rising above one another to a great height." It's like a stadium today. "And capable of containing many thousands of spectators." Paul represents himself as on this arena or stage, contending with foes and destined to death. Around him and above him are an immense host of human beings and angels looking on at the conflict and awaiting the issue. He's not alone or unobserved. He is made public. And the universe gazes on the struggle, it says. Angels and human beings denote the universe as gazing upon the conflicts and struggles of the apostles. It's a vain inquiry here, whether he means good or bad angels. The expression means that he has public in his trials, that he was public, rather, in his trials. He did have a lot of interaction with Roman authorities, and he went to Gentiles, he went to Jews, he was on the run, he was persecuted. A lot of people knew who he was. God's given us such a level of comfort and peace in so many of our nations. He's really allowed for the work, I mean, for God's work to be established here in the United States back in the 1930s. No wonder he set it up here. All these freedoms that we've just come to take for granted. And that's why, as we go through so many of these fulfilled prophecies in the first segment of this show each day, it's why it's so shocking. Because we've just had it so good. We've had so many years of peace and prosperity and relative safety. To see our cities go up in flames, or to see crime just spiral out of control, or to see wide open borders where millions of people are just pouring in, and to see all these politicians and their families and their children making millions of dollars from corrupt oligarchs all over the world. It is shocking It's shocking to see your nation die. The whole world, though, is dying. The hope, the only hope for this world, is what's happening right here in this work, this church. Notice Ephesians 3 and verse 10. It says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You see, even the principalities and powers in heavenly places, the Revised Standard Version, it says that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the principalities. Through the church, God might be made known. His purpose, his plan, what he's working out here below, as these verses bring out, even the angels are fascinated by this plan B, this family plan, as it's unfolding before their eyes. I'll conclude with a few, one last quote, sorry. Then I'll get to a couple of emails. I may not have a whole lot of time. It's from the Royal Book of Revelation. My father writes this. He says, we must realize who we are. We have to be like Amos, Jeremiah, Gideon, and all those men of God. He says, it's like we're going to have to walk right off the pages of the Bible. And we've got to look to those heroes of old and follow in their steps and be courageous and bold like they were. Make a stand for God. Stand up for what's right. Stand up for righteousness. He says, it's like we're going to have to walk right off the pages of the Bible, right out of our shepherding job, and tell the leaders of the land that unless they repent, they're going to die by the sword, and they're going to be taken into captivity out of their own land. That's not good news, but that's the truth. If they don't heed this message, if they don't heed God's warning, it's a warning in love. It's a warning motivated, delivered in love. Like the prophet Ezekiel said, why will you die, O house of Israel? Why choose death when you could be safe, when you could be protected? If you just turn to God in repentance and faith. It's a hope-filled message, really. It's a hope-filled message. The critics, the persecutors won't see it as such. They'll say, well, the messenger, that's the problem. The one bringing the message of God's soon-coming kingdom, the establishment of God's kingdom on this earth, he's the problem, or that church is the problem. No, the problems are all around you in this world today, this present evil world. What you see in God's church today, in God's work today, is the beginning, the mustard seed beginning, the embryonic form of God's future world, God's world, a righteous world. That's what this church is building. Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, used to talk about how that the church is the begotten kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God in embryo. Soon to be born. I don't have time to read through Isaiah 66. Soon to be born. A nation born at once. A nation of God's just sprung on this world. The world will be shocked. And then as we begin to build that new world, the world is going to be filled with peace and happiness and prosperity and obedience to God's laws, love toward one another, love toward God and his family, most of all. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Sorry I didn't get to some of your emails. Perhaps we can next time around. Send us a note, td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.